Welcome to the Big Book. We're reading Greek mythology. Today, because I've finished the first Harry Potter book, I'm going to get into a few smaller books that won't take me a while to read, and then maybe a small series, and then I'll get right on the next book in the series, unless I get an answer to the question I asked earlier. But because it's still nice to move around a bit, today I was thinking we did a bit of Greek mythology. Yeah, so this time it won't be like usual. We'll be doing a Greek mythology book, including lots of different things. I myself don't believe in Greek mythology, but I find it very interesting to read. So let's begin. Chapter 1, The Runaway Queen. Helen gazed out from the balcony of the royal palace. The passers-by below looked up in admiration. Like everyone who saw her, they thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world. Helen led a life of luxury, but she wasn't happy. Helen was married to King Menelaus of Sparta. He was proud of his lovely wife and told her so every day. "I want you to stay by my side forever," he would say. Helen never dared tell him how she felt. One day, a young prince named Paris came to the palace. He was from the city of Troy, across the Aegean Sea. He had come to arrange the release of his aunt, who had been held prisoner by the Greeks. When Paris met Helen, he fell madly in love. "Come back to Troy with me," he begged her one moonlit night. Helen had fallen for Paris too, so she agreed with him. Menelaus was furious when he found out what had happened. His servants quivered in terror as he stomped around the throne room. "Paris will pay for this," he roared. "I don't care how long it takes. I'll get Helen back." He immediately organized a meeting of all the kings in Greece. Chapter 2, The Trojan War. Almost all of the kings agreed to help bring Helen home. Only Odysseus, an experienced soldier and king of Ithaca, didn't want to go. He had enough of fighting, so he pretended to be crazy. Menelaus quickly saw through his ruse, and Odysseus was forced to join the campaign, whether he liked it or not. The next morning, Menelaus, Odysseus, and the other kings set sail with their army. Hundreds of ships crossed the sea to Troy. Many days later, the Greek ship reached land. The soldiers waded ashore and stormed up the beach. The kings rode ahead in their golden chariots. Soon, Troy was in their sights. "Now, all we have to do is get inside," said Odysseus, who wanted to get home quickly. But Troy was well defended. Time and again, Greeks attacked the mighty Trojan citadel. But however hard they tried, they couldn't break in. The Trojans were fierce fighters who defended their stronghold from every attack. Despite this, the Greeks believed their enemy would crumble eventually. Little did they know just how long the war was set to last. Over 10 long years, 1,000 ships brought more soldiers across the Aegean Sea. The roads to Troy became worn down by marching hordes. Many great warriors from both sides were killed as the years passed. But still, the Trojans remained trapped in their own city, and the Greeks were still stuck outside, having gained no ground at all. By now, the Greeks were beginning to give up. "We'll never get in," they cried. "The walls of Troy are impenetrable." And if you don't know, the walls of Troy were actually gifted by the gods so that they were the strongest walls in the world. And that's why it's so hard to get through them. Most people don't know Greek mythology, so I'm just trying to hint a bit of it out. Ah, there we go. One day, Odysseus had an idea. "It's pretty wild and it'll take a lot of nerve," he announced. "But we might just pull it off." A big idea. The other Greek kings agreed to go along with the plan, so Odysseus took a large detachment of the army into a nearby forest and ordered them to work felling trees. The Greek soldiers sawed trees into planks and join the planks together piece by piece. Odysseus's idea slowly took shape. After days of hard work, the Greek army had built a mighty but magnificent wooden horse. And there's a picture that shows that it's bigger than, like, trees. It's ginormous. Odysseus admired the men's efforts. The massive beast was even more imposing than he dared hope. The other Greek kings were equally impressed of what had been achieved. "Now to put my plan in action," declared Odysseus confidently. Chapter 4, Undercover. That night, the Greeks dragged the horse to the city gates. The huge creature was a colossal weight, but little by little, the soldiers edged the result of all their hard work to the gates of Troy. "Quietly now," whispered Odysseus, as they opened a small trapdoor in the horse's belly. Odysseus and some of his men climbed inside the hollow beast and closed the door behind them. One soldier named Simon crouched down behind a nearby rock and waited. Meanwhile, King Menelaus and the other Greeks went back to their ships and sailed out of sight. The first part of the plan was complete. The next morning, the Trojan guards couldn't believe their eyes when they looked outside. "The Greeks have gone," cried one soldier. "And there's a giant horse outside," gasped another. "What on earth is going on?" The Trojans ran out of the city and gazed in wonder at the new arrival. It was time for Simon to come out of hiding. Who are you? Asked a soldier, raising his spear. And what's this? I ran away from the Greek army, lied Simon. They built a horse. But what is it for? Asked the soldier, staring up incredulously at the strange creature. It's a gift to the goddess Athena, explained Simon, to bring them luck on the trip home. Maybe it will bring us luck too, said the Trojan soldier, and he ordered it brought inside. The troops hauled the creature into the city. Inside the wooden horse, Odysseus smiled to himself. The army awakes. Oh, chapter 5. The army awakes. The Trojans spent all day preparing a party to commemorate the end of the war. It was 10 long years since they'd had anything so wonderful to celebrate. The whole of Troy packed the streets. There was feasting, dancing, and singing, and the celebrations lasted long into the night. It was early morning before the Trojans eventually went to bed. Now, at last, Sinon could get to work. He tiptoed across the square to the horse and tapped 3 times on its leg, quickly glancing back to make sure he hadn't woken the sleeping Trojans. Inside, Odysseus leapt up. That's the signal, he whispered. He was ready to put the second part of his plan into action. Gently, he opened the trapdoor and lowered a rope ladder down to the ground and led his men out into the cool night air. Not a sound, men, breathed Odysseus to his troops. The Greek warriors scurried across the city as silently as they could. The guards at the gates were fast asleep. Slowly, the Greek soldiers lifted off the wooden bolt and heaved open the doors. The rest of the Greek army were waiting outside. We're back as planned, said the leading soldier. Right, men, said Odysseus. Now we attack. Chapter 6, The Final Battle. The Greek kings and their army stormed into the city. By the time the Trojans woke up and had realized what was happening, it was too late. There was nothing to stop their enemies now. The Greek soldiers crashed through the streets and houses in search of Menelaus's wife. Where's Helen? They bellowed. Give her up, you miserable Trojans. The Greeks stormed from place to place, ransacking the city as they went, and grabbed as much Trojan treasures as they could. Carrion killed anyone who got in their way. Soon the city was ablaze, the flames lighting up the scene of chaos and terror. Paris pushed in out to fight the Greeks, but realizing the Trojans were doomed to defeat, he ran for his life. He wasn't quick enough. An order from Menelaus sent an arrow flying through the air, and Paris fell to the ground. Now where's Helen? Roared Menelaus. Watching from above, Helen saw Paris struck down. The young Trojan was dead, and there was no possible escape for her. Perhaps Menelaus will throw me in prison, she thought anxiously, or kill me like Paris. Any moment now he'll find me. Chapter 7. Return to Greece. Sure enough, it wasn't long before Helen was captured and brought before her husband. She trembled with fear about what might happen next. Menelaus had been angry with his wife for 10 years. He had planned to punish her, but the moment he saw her face, his rage disappeared. "Welcome back, my love," he cried, his arms wide open. "You are forgiven."
"Finally."
"Finally," he sighed. "My beautiful wife is back by my side. Our mission here is over." Helen was escorted back to the Greek ships, leaving the smoking ruins of Troy behind her.
As dawn broke, Menelaus, Odysseus, and the rest of the Greek army set sail, their vessels weighed down by Trojan treasures. Helen didn't want to go back to Greece, but she had no choice. "At least I escaped with my life," she thought as she sailed away. Menelaus, meanwhile, stood on the deck, as happy as a happy man. At long last, he was reunited with his queen, whose beauty had launched 1,000 ships. That is the end of the first part of the Greek mythology book. Yep, they're very small chapters, you probably noticed. And if you didn't hear, I was flipping the page like every 16 words. The pages aren't very filled. But let's start on the next one. The Minotaur. And there are 8 chapters in this one. Chapter 1. A Deadly Demand. King Aegeus paced the floor of his mighty palace at the heart of Athens. He had been dreading this day for the past 9 years. As he had expected, a messenger arrived with a letter for him. "Oh no," sighed Aegeus as he read the contents of the letter. "Not again. What shall I do?" "What's wrong?" asked his son, Theseus. King Aegeus waved the letter under Theseus's nose. He read, "Oh, read this," he moaned. "It's from Minos, that cold-hearted king of Crete. To Aegeus of Athens, send 14 of your people to me by the end of the month. Signed, King Minos of Crete. P.S. I want 7 men and 7 women. P.P.S. If you don't do what I ask you, there will be trouble." "I don't understand," said Theseus. Minos's son died here in Athens," he explained. "Aegeus, as revenge, every 9 years he demands 14 of our people." "What for?" asked Theseus.
"He sends them to a giant maze called the Labyrinth," replied Aegeus.
"Sounds fun," said Theseus. "Fun?" splattered his father. "At the heart of the labyrinth lies a minotaur."
"It's a terrible creature," Aegeus added. "It's half man, half bull, and it eats people." Chapter 2. Theseus has a plan.
What am I to do?" moaned Aegeus.
"I have an idea," said Theseus with a grin. "I'll be one of the 7 men.
"Are you insane?" cried his father. He knew Theseus was brave, but this was madness. "The Minotaur will eat you alive," he wailed.
"Don't worry, Dad," smiled Theseus. "I'm the best sword fighter in the whole of Athens."
Aegeus sighed. Even if you kill the monster, no one has ever escaped from the labyrinth. They say it's impossible to find your way out.
There's always a way, said Theseus. Confidently,
I'm sure I can solve Minos' maze. King Aegeus begged his son not to go, but it was no use. Theseus' mind was made up. A few days later, Theseus boarded a ship with the others. Odysseus was still very worried. Odysseus and Theseus. Geez, these are tongue twisters. If Theseus survives, he said to the other sailors, fly white sails on the ship when you return. Island of danger. Wind filled the ship's black sails as Theseus and the others set off on their journey. When they finally arrived at Crete, Minos's armed soldiers were waiting at the shore to escort them to the palace. Theseus and the others were taken to the throne room and thrown at Minos's feet, the king's feet. Welcome, roared King Minos. Enjoy your last meal. At dawn, you enter the labyrinth. Guards took prisoners away and locked them in a dark dungeon. As night fell, Theseus prepared himself for what was to come. After a while, Audrain, the king's daughter, appeared with food for the prisoners. As soon as she saw Theseus, Audrain fell madly in love. She couldn't believe how handsome he was. The pair talked for hours. I can't let you spend the rest of your life in the labyrinth, sighed Audrain. Then help me kill the Minotaur and escape, said Theseus. He needed an accomplice, and Audrain was the perfect position to help. Audrain thought for a moment. Very well, she said, if you promise to marry me. All right, Theseus croaked nervously. He didn't plan to get married for a long time, if ever, but he had to agree with Audrain for now. Audrain was overjoyed. Take this ball of magic string, she said breathlessly. Tie it to the entrance of the labyrinth as you go in. Then what? Asked Theseus. You'll see, smiled Audrain. Chapter 4. Into the Labyrinth. At dawn, the prisoners were marched to the entrance of the labyrinth, as well as the string. Audrain had given Theseus a sword. He did his best to hide both of them under his cloak. The doors were opened and the prisoner marched inside. When the guards weren't looking, Theseus tied one end of his string by the door. The guards went back outside, slamming the doors behind them. I just hope Audrain wasn't trying to trick me, thought Theseus. At that instant, the ball of string jumped from his hand. Theseus couldn't believe his eyes. The string rolled around on the ground by itself and hurtled into the maze. After it, ordered Theseus. What's going on? Wondered the others.
Trust me, said Theseus. Just follow the string. He had a good idea where it might lead. The magical twine wound its way, and that soon they were deep inside the labyrinth. And there's lots of dead skeleton bones in it. The string came to a sudden halt in a large, stinking cavern. Now what? Asked one of the women. As if in answer, a terrifying, inhuman roar echoed all around them. Now we face the Minotaur, cried Theseus. Chapter 5, The Minotaur. The others trembled with fear. Don't worry, said Theseus, pulling out his sword with a flourish. I'll tackle the brute. Just stand well back. The ground shook. Heavy footsteps came nearer and nearer. Finally, the mighty Minotaur stormed into the cave. It was the scariest creature Theseus had ever seen. The other prisoners gasped and screamed in terror. Theseus gripped his sword tightly and prepared himself for the fight of his life. The Minotaur gave a loud snort. Clouds of smelly breath shot from its nostrils. Its eyes burned red, like two hot coals, menacingly staring at Theseus. Then, with an ear-splitting roar, it charged the young prince, his sword at the terrifying monster. Theseus felt his weapon slice through the creature's skin. The Minotaur was wounded, but it didn't give up. It chased Theseus around the cave. Come on, Theseus, shouted the others as they crowded in the shadows. Don't let it get us. After time, the monster dodged Theseus's blows. Soon the young prince was struggling for breath. How much longer could he go on? Suddenly, he tripped and looked up to see the Minotaur looming over him. The hungry creature reached out his massive hands to grab him. This was Theseus's last chance. If he didn't kill the Minotaur now, it would kill him. With one last thrust, Theseus picked up his sword and plunged it into the monster's chest. The Minotaur gave a blood-chilling cry. It reeled backwards, clawing at the air. Then, with a final moan, it thudded to the ground in a haze of dust.
Well done, Theseus, cried the others, leaping from the shadows. You've saved us all.
It's not over yet, panted Theseus. Remember, we still have to find our way out of this place. Chapter 6, Escape. Theseus noticed the magic string lying on the ground. Of course, he said, this will help us get back to the entrance. Picking up the ball, he followed the twine out of the cavern. Come on, everyone, follow me, Theseus shouted. The prisoners cautiously trailed after him. They weaved in and out the maze of tunnels, guided all the while by the magical thread. At last, they reached the doors through which they had entered. The prisoners crept behind the guards outside
At a signal of Theseus, they grabbed the two men and tied them up with the string. At the dock, Theseus found Andre sitting patiently for him. He climbed aboard his ship. "Don't forget your promise to marry me," said Andre, rushing after him. "Promise?" said "Promise?" said Theseus vaguely. "Yes. Absolutely. You better come with us." Chapter 7. The Broken Promise. On the voyage home, the ship stopped at the tranquil of Naxos. "We'll spend the night here," announced Theseus. But Theseus couldn't sleep. He didn't want to marry King Minos' daughter. She bossed him around ever since they left Crete. So while Andre was asleep, he woke the others and ordered them back to the ship. Quietly, they sailed away into the night. When Andre woke up the next morning, she was heartbroken. She looked skyward and cried to the gods for revenge. "Make that cheat Theseus pay for deserting me," she begged in frustration. A magical glow filled the air. A god named Dionysus, and that's the god of wine, appeared. Andre told him her tale. Dionysus felt sorry for the abandoned princess. "I will punish Theseus for breaking his promise to you," he declared, dramatically raising his arms. The god cast a spell across the sea. "Forget, sailors. Forget, forget, forget." Chapter 8. A Black Day. By now, Theseus was nearly home. "I can't wait to be back in Athens," he told one of the soldiers. "My father will be so, so proud of me." "Yes," said the man, looking up at the black sails. His thoughts were elsewhere. "What's the matter?" asked Theseus. "It's funny, but I'm sure we were supposed to do something," replied the sailor. "But for the life of me, I can't remember what it was." "That's a coincidence," said another sailor. "I had the same strange feeling." "And me," cried a third. "Oh well," said Theseus, "I'm sure it can't have been anything important." Up on the cliffs, King Aegeus looked out to sea. "My son's ship has returned at last," he sighed. But then he saw something that broke his heart. "Oh no, black sails," he sobbed. "My brave son Theseus must be dead." Aegeus was grief-stricken. Without thinking, he plunged into the sea and sank to his doom. When Theseus landed, he heard the dreadful news about his father and broke down in tears. Theseus had succeeded in his mission. He had beaten the mighty Minotaur and escaped the perilous labyrinth. But his poor father would never know. And that's as far as we're doing in Greek mythology. And maybe if we finish another Harry Potter, I'll read a bit more. But I'm still going to do a few more small books before we get back on course. So have a great time.